Take your Bible, please, and open to Psalm 98. And if you've got enough room on your lap, you might care to have your hymn book open at hymn number 104, because it is the that hymn, Joy to the World, that is the provides a fair bit of the direction for our message this evening. Joy to the World is a hymn that was written nearly 300 years ago. As a matter of fact, in a couple of days' time, as we roll over into the new year, it'll be exactly 300 years. Isaac Watts wrote the hymn based on the second part of Psalm 98, and little did he know that Joy to the World would become one of the most popular Christmas carols of all time, and that it would be translated into dozens of languages. Now, what did Isaac Watts see in Psalm 98 that inspired this powerful Christmas carol that shouts Joy to the World? Well, he saw a beautiful rolling crescendo of all creation in Psalm 98. In Psalm 98, we see people that rejoice. We see people that rejoice and sing praise. We see seas roaring, floods clapping their hands, hills singing joyfully together. Why? Because the Lord has come. If you look at Psalm 98, go to verse 4. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Verse 7, let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the world and all that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. Now, I know that this Christmas carol that announces joy to the world and this Psalm 98 that portrays all creation rejoicing at the coming of the Lord, I know that it all sounds a little bit naive. Perhaps it does to you. You know, when we were kids, we would sing Christmas carols and be filled with joy and be very, very jolly about it. But we've all grown up, haven't we? And we now get to see the world as it really is, don't we? And we think to ourselves, is it still possible to truly sing joy to the world with any depth of conviction? How can we make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth? Why break forth into joyous songs and sing praises, as Psalm 98 verse 4 says, or the first verse of the carol says? Why make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King, verses 5 and 6? Why should the sea roar in gladness and everything that fills it? Why should the world and they that dwell therein roar in praise as well, as it says in verse 7? Why? Why joy to the world? Because Christmas means that God became a man. That's our first heading there. Christmas means that God became man. Everything else at Christmas is an add-on. He that made man became man. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Jesus is deity living in humanity. We call that the incarnation. Colossians 2 verse 9 puts it this way. In him, that is in Jesus Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus is deity living in humanity. Jesus wasn't just another baby born in this world. The Christmas baby is God made man. Colossians 1:19 puts it this way. For it pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell in the Son. It pleased the Father that all the fullness of the Godhead would dwell in his incarnate Son. And it's very evident that when Jesus was born, he was not just another baby. When Jesus was born. Wise men travelled hundreds, maybe thousands of miles. They crossed the desert to see him. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. When Jesus was born, angels came from heaven to announce his birth. When Jesus was born, the brightest star in heaven lit up his way. And not only that, the Bible says that the star actually rested over the place where the child Jesus was. No, the birth of Jesus wasn't just an ordinary birth. When Jesus was born, shepherds literally hurried to see him. And after they saw him, they couldn't stop telling people what the angels had told them. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill towards men. And the amazing thing is that they went everywhere telling everyone this. And everyone who'd heard it marveled at this amazing message. When Christ was born, numerous Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled, including the very name of the place where he was born. This isn't just another baby being born. This is God in the major. This is God who was spirit being God in the flesh. It's God the infinite to God the finite. It's God in heaven to God with us, Emmanuel. No wonder Psalm 98 says that the earth sings, "Your maker has come. He is with us again." Of course the earth sings, and so should we. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. What do we primarily see in God coming to us to be with us? What we see is God's initiative in loving us. We see God's initiative to come to us and to be our Saviour, to make an end of sin and to make an end of the suffering that we have created in our rebellion against our Maker. God has taken the first steps in loving us. He loved us first, and he proved it by coming to us. Salvation is always the coming of God to man. It's not a man ascending to God. It's God descending to man. And we see God's amazing love in making a way to him for sinners like you and me. By the way, no other religion has God humbling himself. It's always God requiring man to do better and man to do more in order that we might reach unto God and be acceptable to him. But Christianity, in Christ, we have God humbling himself to come to us, to take away our sin, so those who turn to him and are willing to trust in him can worship God and enjoy him forever. If God were to ask you to become a worm, it would still be nothing compared to him humbling himself and taking on human form. And so we can humble ourselves, yes, and accept the fact that Christ is the only way to God, and he humbled himself and loved us so much that he comes in this world in order to take away our sin, in order that he might bring us to God. What else is in the eyes of Isaac Watts? What else does he see in Psalm 98 as he writes this carol? He writes, "He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found." You see, Isaac Watts knows it's not such an easy thing about to sing about joy to the world in a world that is cursed and fallen and broken. Isaac Watts is not naive. He just acknowledges three times there is a curse in this world. Isaac Watts himself was plagued by illness and disease. His physical illness got to the point where he just couldn't continue on in the role of pastor anymore. His illness and his unsightly appearance took its toll on his personal life. He was rejected when he proposed marriage to Elizabeth Singer. As one biographer noted, quote, "Though she loved the jewel, she could not admire the casket which contained it." In other words, she did admire his soul, but she rejected him on account of his looks and his physical form. And hardly anything could be more disheartening than when you declare your love and you ask, would you marry me? You get the big no. Couldn't possibly love someone that looks like you. Watts also faced constant opposition about his work, both from those inside and outside the church. This is the guy that wrote, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, that wrote, Alas, and did my Saviour bleed? Our God, our help in ages past, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun. And he's called a heretic by those within the church. He's rejected by his own people. He's a guy who knows about a broken world. He understands. He's not at all naive. How was he able then to write a song like this, Joy to the World? How was he able to do it? He can do it because he sees this truth in Scripture. He sees the reality of this revelation in Scripture that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. The Spirit of God bears witness with him that this is so, and this truth dawns upon his soul, and he picks up his pen and he searches for words and he labors to write them down first and foremost for himself. And in this way, he's preaching the hope of the gospel to himself. This is his fight for the ultimate joy that there is, better than anything else. God incarnate, Christ with us, Jesus is his name. And I wonder if you are feeling the curse of humanity's rejection of God this evening. How is this world broken for you today? What are you plagued with this Christmas? Maybe in this past year you've lost a loved one. Perhaps a child, maybe a parent, a brother or a sister. Or maybe you're carrying the weight of a dark secret of unconfessed sin. Or perhaps this was the year of a relationship that just didn't work out, similar perhaps to what happened to Isaac Watts. These are the sorts of things that really hurt. But how can I... And how can you, and how could Isaac Watts sing Joy to the World? Why is it possible? Precisely because Christmas is a revelation that in Christ, sin and sorrow will never have the last word. That's our second heading there. In Christ, sin and sorrow will never have the last word. Yes, there is a curse. And yes, it reaches far. But there is one Saviour who has endured it all and will take it all far away from us, so that because of him, you and I can be totally free from the curse for all eternity. In Jesus Christ, our life can, yes, reach this crescendo of praise in Psalm 98. Yes, this body of this flesh does fail, it does wither, it will perish, but in Christ the inner man is renewed day by day. In the words of the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 4:16, though the outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And instead of the believer's life going downhill till it's 6 foot under the ground, in Christ, for the Christian, all life goes uphill, up, 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 until we finally find ourselves in the embrace of the Saviour. In a paradise which was lost by Adam but regained in Christ. Joy to the world. I know that eternity boggles our mind. That's a really long time. It's forever and ever, literally. And we think, you know, well, if something lasts that long, it better be good. But listen, eternity, for the Christian, eternity is like, it's like a great, great book where each new chapter is far and way better than the previous one. Did you know that when this carol was written, Isaac Watts was actually focusing more on the second coming of Christ than his first coming? That's true. The hymn is primarily about the second coming of Christ. And because the King of Heaven came down and will come down again to reign on the earth for 1,000 years and then to make a new heaven and a new earth, because that is so, our future, as those who believe in Christ, our future in heaven is assured for you and for me, indeed for all who believe. Let me just share with you a few things about this new heaven and this new earth. Revelation 21 says in verse 2, Apostle John says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And that tells us that this new heaven, this new earth, this new place where we will live forever and ever with the Lord is indeed very, very beautiful. It's like a bride prepared for her husband. And the thing about brides is they take time to get prepared, yes, but when they're prepared and adorned, they are beautiful. All brides are beautiful. And so it is with this place that the Lord is preparing for us. He's preparing it. He's adorning. What must it be like, a place prepared by God? The stunning beauty of our Maker is reflected in it. Verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That means there's no more hatred. There's no more strife, no more jealousy, no more fits of anger, no more rivalries, no more dissensions, no more division, no more deeds of the flesh, no more sickness, no more death, no more debt, no more disasters, no more wars, no more racism, no more hospitals, no more funerals, no more graveyards, no more mass shootings, no more acts of terror, no more sickness, no more pain. Joy to the world, beloved. And all of this is because a Savior came into the world. Heaven is beautiful. Heaven is perfect. Heaven is real. An angel measures it. He gets the measurements in verses 15 and 16. He actually measures the size of it. It's a real place. And heaven is a secure place. It's got walls made of precious jewels. Absolutely nothing to fear anymore. Joy to the world. And even then, the beauty of heaven is nothing to compare to the beauty of God, the God of heaven. And that's exactly what Jesus came to give us at Christmas time, not something from God, but a relationship restored with God, God himself. Heaven is for you, yes, but the God of heaven is for you. The God of heaven is with you and we with him forever. Fear not to surrender to Christ, that you too, even in the midst of the suffering that does exist now, you too might be able to sing at Christmas time, joy to the world, precisely because the Lord has come and he will come again. And he takes our curse and in exchange he gives us himself forever. The fact that Christ became man tells you that he knows pain, he understands pain, he's been there, he's done that and then some. But this present pain for all of us will pass. And in Christ we get a new heaven and a new earth. He's the one that makes all things new. Thirdly, we can sing joy to the world because Jesus became like us so that we could become like him. The Apostle Paul put it this way, that he said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that we through his poverty might be rich. The rich became poor, so that we poor ones might inherit his riches. 2 Corinthians 5:21 puts it this way. For he, God the Father, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, the one who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The righteous one took our sin so that we sinful ones can receive his righteousness. The rich became poor so that we poor might be rich. The sinless one took upon our sin so that we sinful ones could be made righteous. The Son of God became a son of man so that we, children of men, might become children of God. That cute little baby Jesus in the manger is the glory of the invisible God. Hebrews 1 begins this way, verses 3 and 4. Who, talking about Jesus, is the brightness of his Father's glory, the express image of his person. He upholds all things by the word of his power. And when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Brethren, the birth of Jesus is more than just God's supernatural display of power in becoming man. It's more than that. It is that, but it's more than that. You see, the birth had a clear purpose. The purpose of the birth was that Jesus would then lead us to God. He didn't just come become man for our sakes. He became man so that he would then lead us to God. The carol says, he comes to make his blessings flow. And what is the greatest blessing in life or in death? It is that we might find the way to God. And the greatest blessing for us here at Christmas time is not the absence of trials at Christmas time, but it's the presence, it's the company of God with us, Emmanuel. It's him taking residence in us, the Holy Spirit coming to dwell within us, making us holy. The rich coming down to us, the poor ones, making us rich. The righteous one coming down to us to make us unrighteous ones like him. In the words of the theologian, the incarnation has a goal. And the goal is not just to bring God to man or for divinity to take on humanity. The ultimate purpose is for humanity to be reconciled to God, for man to be made righteous and holy, for created man to become like Christ forever and with Christ. We can only be reconciled to God and become like Christ through faith and full trust in Christ and Christ alone. At Christmas, Jesus became human. He understands our pain. At the same time, he became the one who takes away the cause of our greatest sorrow, meaning our sin, the thing that keeps us separated from God. And reconciliation is possible through the blood of the cross. And the cross is possible because his birth is undeniable. Finally, we can sing Joy to the World because the Lord Jesus Christ came to reveal God to us. There's only two things you can do about the revelation of God in Christ. One, you can repent and believe and trust Christ. Or two, you can rebel and continue to pretend that somehow you can earn salvation for yourself through good deeds or through ministry and service or by devotion to some cause. Carols in the Domain have been a major Sydney event for a number of years now. And I've never been, but I'm sure Santa is a prominent theme there. But some of the great Christmas carols are also performed and sung and enjoyed. And this year, one of the major sponsors and promoters of the event was New Idea Magazine. And in case you don't know, New Idea Magazine is probably one of the most trashy tabloids that Australia produces. It's mostly full of celebrity and Hollywood gossip. Its moral values are exceedingly low. And yet it's this magazine that promotes and sings and encourages the singing of Christmas carols whose lofty themes extol the praise and wonder of God veiled in the flesh, hail incarnate deity. And it's just incredible irony. This incredible irony. And I try to think about it. And I almost pray, said, Lord, if only these people would open their hearts and minds and think about the truths that they are promoting, to repent and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 98, which birthed this Christmas carol, Joy to the World, ends with this. Verse 8, let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh. He cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and people with equity. Christ's first coming and Christ's return is good news. It's great news for all who believe, but it's not good news for those who do reject. And I would urge you and I would plead with you this Christmas to not reject, but to look at Jesus with the eyes of faith and consider that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is your only way to heaven. I know that there is a movement around that phrase, you know, only God can judge me. You may have seen it on t-shirts, maybe on bumper stickers, certainly on tattoos. And I suppose it's true, isn't it? God is the one who will judge us, and ultimately it's only God who will judge us. But I think people who get excited about that message forget one thing. He will do it. It will happen. He will judge us, as Psalm 98 says. So don't just make room for Jesus. Don't just make small room for Jesus. May he be a big thing in your life. Repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and turn your whole life over to him, because if you are found in Christ, you'll be saved forevermore. Jesus bore your shame and your sin. He bore the judgment that is due to us. This is the only way we can escape the judgment of God. Joy to the world. Do you believe it today? Do you believe that God became man for you? Do you believe that Jesus lived his life for you? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you? The miracle of Christmas is that the invisible God of the universe became visible in Jesus Christ. Only Jesus is the perfect image of God, and it's only through Jesus that we can be reconciled to God forever. And believer, please don't forget that the carol also encourages in verse 3 to no more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Yes, Jesus takes our curse. But one sure way to throw away the joy of the work of Christ is by habitual non-repentant sin in our lives. So, beloved, let us not try to hide our sin. Let us not try to hold on to our sin. Bring them to Christ. Confess them to Christ. Own our guilt and receive his full forgiveness. Would you surrender all to Jesus Christ, that the joy of salvation could be restored to you this Christmas despite our trials and troubles? The last verse of the carol is this: he rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. It is the wondrous love of God displayed in Christ that provides us with the forgiveness of our sins and imputes righteousness to us. You know, as we talk about Christmas carols and Christmas music, this greatest news ever, the greatest news for the entire world, you can find it in an 8-note scale. If you play the scale of C backwards and you pause on the 1st, 2nd, 4th, 6th, 7th and the last note, You hear a tune that conveys the greatest message ever. What you get is this: joy to the world. The Lord is come. Very, very simple scale. Hardly much dramatic about it. And yet this simple means conveys the greatest message that the world has ever known. This is the greatest news for all humanity, now and ever. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the good news of the Saviour who was born. His name is called Jesus. He has this name because this was his mission. This is why he came. Something worked out within the Godhead in eternity past And then in the fullness of time, Christ came in this means, in this way, to accomplish this wonderful thing for us. Father, we thank you that you sent your angels to make it very, very clear to many people what this was all about. And Father, we thank you that you've given us the Word and the Holy Spirit, as well as the witness of the angels contained in the Word, helping us to understand what this is all about. Father, we do pray that you would continue to open our eyes to this glorious Christmas truth. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. And Lord, what a joy it is to know this message. What a joy it is to be able to sing these wonderful truths. Thank you for the certainty of these things, the permanence of these things. Our trials and tribulations are but for a moment. But Lord, these truths that we seek to share this evening, Lord, these go on forever and ever and ever and ever. And our trials and tribulations will soon be forgotten. And we look forward to the day when we are in the glorious presence of Christ. Father, we look forward to that day. And Father, I do pray that everyone in this room this evening will know the joy of salvation. Lord, that's our prayer. The joy of sins forgiven, of hell subdued, of peace with God. Father, this is our prayer. We pray it for each other. Lord, we pray that you'd open eyes and soften hearts tonight to respond positively to the good news of the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.